Continuing education is more essential and more strategically valuable than ever. The old model of front-loaded education is no longer viable. Today's learners need relevant and flexible CE to keep pace.
And we have a free resource to help your learning business provide that kind of high-impact learning. The Strategic CE Playbook introduces a practical framework to help you strategically design and deliver continuing education programs that will succeed in today's complex and competitive market.
The playbook focuses on three essential levers: personalization, portfolio thinking, and performance.
To learn more about the three levers and how to use them effectively, get your copy of the Strategic CE Playbook at leadinglearning.com/strategic-CE.
If I had to define my approach to marketing, it would really be sharing information that helps people to solve a problem or a challenge that they have.
I'm Salisa Steele.
I'm Jeff Cobb, and this is the Leading Learning Podcast. Effective marketing is integral to a learning business's success, but doing marketing well requires care and thought. In this episode, number 408, Salisa talks with Michelle Bryan, Vice President of Marketing at Matchbox, and quite possibly one of the nicest people you'll ever meet. Someone who approaches life and work and learning with care and thought and authenticity. Salisa and Michelle talk about what marketing is and how Michelle defines it, the central role value plays in marketing, the rise of digital and content marketing, the potential for generative AI in marketing, and the fundamental importance of understanding your audience. Salisa and Michelle spoke in late March 2024.
Tell folks a little bit more about the kind of work that you do.
Sure, yeah. So at Matchbox, it's interesting because we've just rebranded and launched kind of a new focus. But our goal is really to help associations to think more intentionally about how they can align online experiences that they might be creating for education or engagement or revenue generation with their digital strategy to create what we're calling digital initiatives. So I think a lot of organizations know that they need to have a digital strategy to kind of remain relevant or to grow their businesses into the future. But not all of them are using digital or virtual kind of as effectively as they could be. And so our intention is to try and help provide a platform and resources that combine strategy, technology, and people to extend the scope of their internal teams and make it easier for them to launch digital initiatives that would help to grow their potential audience for education programs or foster deeper engagement or diversify their revenue sources.
So I know your title there at Matchbox involves marketing, and you've been working in marketing for a long time at various organizations, and often for organizations that have a toe or maybe a whole foot in learning. And so I'm just curious to know, did you know from an early age that marketing is what you wanted to focus on, or how did you come to be involved in marketing?
No, absolutely not. So I think, as you say, I've always kind of had a toe in the education side of things. And that, I think, I've always kind of sought roles that helped me or allowed me to support those who teach others maybe in different ways, which is interesting. But no, I studied sociology and information studies as my undergraduate degree, and I completed the librarianship pathway. So completely different. And I was lucky enough to win a scholarship for postgraduate education. And I spent a year working in the information studies department in the university and trying to figure out whether I would do arts management or marketing. Those were kind of the two courses that I had drilled down to. And eventually I opted for marketing because it offered better career prospects, I think. It's very difficult to get a job in arts management, especially somewhere where, like in Ireland, where it's a smaller kind of pool of museums and galleries and things to pick from. So yeah, the program that I chose in marketing was a really interesting one. I know you'll be interested because it had an active learning structure to it. So we actually wore suits and went into an office and worked in an office, and we spent about I would say 40% of our time in lectures and learning, and about 60% of our time actively working on projects for clients that the university would bring in. And we would run the whole project from researching it, putting together a proposal, a plan, and then executing that, whether it be for market research or promoting something or that sort of thing. So it was a really interesting way to learn. So I think that might have been one of the reasons why I chose it.
I love that you noted that you put on suits, right? Like it's this immersive learning, right? You have to dress for the part.
That was it. It was very much it. And I think I was always a little bit of a fish out of water because I'm not really a suit kind of person. And I didn't really want to go into FMCG marketing, which is where everybody else was very clearly kind of pointing their career at. I always knew I wanted to do something different. And I think for me, the part of marketing that speaks to me is that kind of understanding people and the creative elements. So kind of combining the sociology and information aspects from my undergraduate studies, you know, is understanding people and then creatively kind of communicating to help them solve their problems, maybe.
Well, so I noticed on your LinkedIn profile when I was sort of preparing for our conversation that you talk about brand, product, and content marketing. So you sort of talk about these different flavors of marketing, but I thought maybe it could just be interesting for you to explain to us what you think of when you think of marketing. How do you define marketing?
Yeah. So I'm glad that you shared that question with me before the interview, because I actually had to step back and think about how I would define marketing. You know, it's been a while since I studied, and though I kind of keep up with changes and things, I think a lot of people, when they think of marketing, they kind of would define it as the process or activities that you do to promote and sell products or services. And I don't really like to think about marketing that way. So I actually went and looked up a definition, and I looked around until I found one that was kind of more in line with the way I approach it. And I actually found it with the American Marketing Association, which is interesting. So I'll read it for you. They define it as the activity, set of institutions, and processes for creating, communicating, delivering, and exchanging offerings that have value for customers, clients, partners, and society at large. And that sits so much better with me. I really like that. If I had to define my approach to marketing, it would really be sharing information that helps people to solve a problem or a challenge that they have. So I like to, like I said, I'm kind of drawn to the creative and the strategic aspects. So for me, a way to kind of market something effectively is to tell the story, not just like the case study of like, what's the latest success story with our brand or our product kind of thing, but to tell the story of what the challenge is and to help the person that I'm trying to communicate to understand or gain a different perspective on that challenge, how they might provide something that's helpful that might actually help them to solve it. And so that's what I think I seek to do when I'm thinking about marketing and how I approach it.
I definitely appreciate that AMA definition because it is broader than promotion, and marketing is broader than promotion. And also it landed with me that they use value in there, that it's this idea of creating value and communicating value and sharing value.
Yeah, I think that's something that it's really important to me too, is the value piece. I kind of try to be guided by authenticity and integrity in what I do. We've all been on the end of various different marketing practices that may not sit well with us. So I don't like to then visit those on other people. I like to be able to provide value and think that whatever I'm doing in my work is going to help somebody. And that's what I aim for. So
when you think about marketing and that sort of definition that you found that resonated with you, or if you just think about marketing activities in general, in your experience or in the way you think about it, is there anything that's different about marketing when the marketing is tied to learning products and services or things that are focused on trying to help individuals gain skills or knowledge or know-how?
That's an interesting one. So for many, many years, I was doing marketing for a learning management system, and that was selling to learning businesses that were providing continuing education to their members or their professionals in their industry. And I think it was very interesting because it really struck me how different their audiences were. And so then how different each of their needs were. So there wasn't really like a one size fits all kind of approach. And that's where I think really I began to focus on understanding the challenges and understanding the needs, not just of the people who would be my customers, but who their customers would be. And that is the challenge really, is that, you know, you're not you're not just providing a product or service to your client, but potentially their clients or people that they interact with as well. And a learning business being able to kind of understand what the different challenges of their potential customers are, but also others, you know, in the wider industry that could be potential customers or in connected industries that they might need to interact with, I think is a really big challenge, but one, if they can solve it and really kind of focus on bringing that into their marketing themselves, then they'll be very successful.
I think that idea of understanding the audience that you serve and their challenges, their opportunities resonates with what you were saying around authenticity, right? Like, it's part of being authentic is when you really understand what are those needs and challenges of that audience, and then how can you respond and provide value that helps them with those needs and challenges?
Yeah, exactly.
At Tagoras, we partner with professional and trade associations, continuing education units, training firms, and other learning businesses to help them understand market realities and potential, to connect better with existing customers and find new ones, and to make smart investment decisions around product development and portfolio management. Drawing on our expertise in lifelong learning, market assessment, and strategy formulation, we can help you achieve greater reach, revenue, and impact. Learn more at tagoras.com/more.
You've been working in marketing for many years, so I'd just be curious to get your perspective around the changes that you might have seen over those years of work in marketing. How has marketing evolved, if it has?
Oh, it definitely has. I mean, that it has been very interesting to watch marketing evolve and to realize the importance of continuing education, I suppose, especially in a career like marketing, like studying and information studies and learning about the knowledge economy and how we were coming into this era when I was leaving college. It was really interesting. And marketing is about harnessing knowledge and sharing it and using it effectively to communicate. And then there's so many different aspects that have developed as the ways that we communicate have changed and the technologies that we use to communicate have changed. If you look at even training that people do nowadays, like when I was learning, when I was training in marketing, I would have had a much more, I suppose, general scope to research and to promotional activities and all of the different aspects of marketing. But nowadays, I think in more recent times, a lot of marketing programs have honed in on very specific things. So you might actually do a full degree in digital marketing, which didn't exist when I was doing my marketing training, you know, and that digital marketing might focus on things like SEO or pay-per-click. And even as I say that, I'm realizing to myself, that person who did that in the last 5 or 10 years is now also realizing that education is almost obsolete to them because Google has changed so many rules around SEO and how we can use it. And pay-per-click it's something that works effectively for certain products or services, but not necessarily for all. So it's really changed over the years. I think one of the things that I have noticed very recently and sits really well with me and is something that I've tried to educate myself on is the move for marketing and sales, to be honest, and customer success to move to more of a RevOps model where they're actually all working together rather than against each other. The kind of marketing that generated hundreds of leads to pass to sales, no matter the quality, never sat well with me, you know, as a process. And thankfully, it's not something that I kind of ever got too deeply involved in. But, you know, there were many companies where that was the key metric for marketing was how many leads did you deliver, as opposed to what were the quality of those leads and how many of those were sales able to convert, so that we know what the most effective marketing activities are to actually support the generation of business. And then for sales to actually get on board and not just close all business, but business that is actually a really good fit, so that then when customer success get involved, you build a trusting and lasting relationship with that customer. And then, you know, you don't lose that customer when they realize that what they were sold didn't fit what they were looking for in the first place. So I love that emphasis on providing value and integrity through the whole process and that move of marketing, sales, and client success to come together towards RevOps.
Well, and that ties back to value again. I mean, part of why that works when those partners come together is because there's this idea of, okay, where is the value and how can we all help realize that and make sure that it is valuable for everyone involved. So I like that perspective. One other thing that occurred to me when you were talking about some of the changes in marketing was the rise of content marketing, which is still with us. And I do feel like content marketing and learning are so closely tied because the goal of so much of content marketing is really education. You're educating a consumer about something. And in the case of then learning businesses, you're educating them about education, you know, which kind of creates this virtuous cycle, I think, where the content marketing and the learning can feed together very nicely and fit together in a tight way. So I guess any comments about kind of content marketing from your side? I know it's something you've engaged in a lot, and that gets back to value too, because that's providing value.
Yeah, absolutely. And to me, the main point of content marketing is to provide value. I think it's really important that you engage in content marketing with that aim to provide value and to provide content purely for the sake of generating clicks. I do think it's an interesting one because, again, there's lots of changes coming into content marketing at the moment with discussion about generative AI and that sort of thing. And I think that's something where the marketers who are going to be successful are the ones who harness those tools in a way that brings out the human element to deliver value. So like for me, it's not about quantity over quality. It's about even these tools that are making it easier to generate content. That's great, but let's use it to make the aspects of the generation that lead to efficiency better as opposed to the quality. So like if you're using generative AI to get you past that blank canvas thing, that's great. But making sure to always review and make sure that you have looked over this and you've understood what the customer needs and what's the purpose of this and how is it going to help. And then a human is the one that actually finalizes and delivers. That's where I think content marketing is going to undergo a lot of changes in the next few months and years, and it'll be interesting to see how that plays out and who comes out on top.
Well, maybe talk a little bit about what Matchbox does periodically with AI. I mean, it's my understanding that you guys kind of gather together periodically to kind of talk about how AI might be impacting your work. And maybe some of what you just shared around your sort of thoughts might have come from some of those internal discussions you all have been having.
Yeah, so I'm not going to lie, I'm the AI skeptic in Matchbox, and I'm the one who really has to be convinced. It's probably a big part of my librarianship training and that need to always seek and validate your sources to make sure that they are authentic and that they can be trusted and that sort of thing. And I think that has led a little bit to my skepticism in approaching AI. But I have to admit, the learning days have been fantastic and they have changed my perspective. I know you'll appreciate the structure of the day. The first one that we did was very much kind of independent learning, and we had kind of like a presentation about what's the difference between automation and AI and generative AI and what are some of the things that we should consider. And then we all went away and we kind of looked for different tools and things that would help us understand how AI would work in our roles, and we came together at the end of the day. And this time we felt we needed to kind of focus it even more. So we started the day with a welcome from our CEO, who kind of, you know, gave us the goal of we wanted to see, could we use AI to save us 2 hours in our work week? And that was kind of the focus goal that we approached it with. And we did watch a presentation about AI that kind of helped to ground us in it. And then we did a design thinking session. So we had a series of questions that one of the team members had put together in a document, and we spent almost an hour actually, because we were all just like contributing so many ideas into it in this document and answering the questions. And they were prompting us to think about what are some of the ways that we could make our work more efficient in the different roles across the company, and what are some of the things that we might want to consider if we were implementing AI in different areas and that sort of thing. And we came out of this session with this huge document with lots of ideas and thoughts in it. And then we actually in the second part of that, we actually were discussing it and we broke out into breakout rooms, and each breakout room did something different. So some people took the document and fed it into ChatGPT and asked it to summarize it and pull out the key learnings. And then other people took it and fed it into ChatGPT, but asked it very specific questions about, you know, parts of it so that it would pull out more different things. So each group came out with very different results, and it was really interesting to kind of share those. But yeah, I think my eureka moment actually in the whole day came from realizing that ChatGPT is a conversational tool. And I think I was still approaching it like Google, where I would give it prompts and ask it for information. And then I would like add to those prompts or do a series of prompts to kind of build on that information to try and get what I was looking for. But sometimes it was still missing something. And one of the team suggested to me to ask ChatGPT to tell me what other information it needed in order to give me a more complete answer. And that blew my mind, because I knew it was a conversational tool, but I had never actually engaged in a two-way conversation with ChatGPT and never thought to ask it to ask me a question. And actually, if you have to create like a business plan or a proposal or something like that, you can feed ChatGPT the information that you want and ask it to help you to kind of structure it and give you the headings and things. But asking it to tell you what you're missing in your prompt then does give you a better outcome. So it does improve both the efficiency and the quality, which is, yeah, it's a scary thought, but kind of cool. So I'm definitely going to think a little bit more about how I can with ChatGPT as we kind of go forward.
Sounds like you're becoming a little bit less skeptical as you go through these learning days.
Just so, but that's what it's all about, right? I mean, I learned that I wasn't using it effectively, and now I can actually take from that and kind of move on and grow, I suppose. So I'm always open to learning more, but will always maintain that small skepticism in the back of my mind.
I would love to get your thoughts on just what goes into successful marketing. What are some of the key factors based on your experience? And I'm thinking in particular about learning businesses and what they might need to do or know in order to ensure that they're successfully marketing what they're offering. Any advice that you might have based on your years of experience?
Yeah, I mean, I think it definitely starts with understanding your audience. So thinking back to some of the learning businesses that I would have worked with when I was on the LMS side of things, being able to understand your audience will help you to better promote your programs. So for example, I'm thinking of a learning business that was in the insurance space, and they provided training and accreditation for people across all aspects and all different kinds of roles in the insurance industry. And they had an amazing program that they put together, and it was a subscription program. So it gave access to all of their content, you know, over the course of the subscription, and allowed people to really kind of choose from various different career paths that they could take. But people weren't taking it up, and they started looking at what was wrong with their messaging and what they could do to make it better. And they came up with a marketing program that actually created videos of people who were at the top of their career in those different roles within the industry. And they talked about how much the education that they had received had helped them in making their choices in where to specialize or how to move through their career. And they used those videos then to promote the education programs to younger professionals or people coming into the industry, people who are trying to choose their specialization. And they saw a huge increase then in the uptake of programs. I think it really does come back to understanding who your audience are, what their needs are, what they're trying to get from what you might be able to offer, and how you can help them to achieve that. And then creating messaging that helps to show them, I suppose, not just what you provide, but what the benefit is to them. So like where they can get to or what they can achieve by engaging with your education program.
That makes a ton of sense. Focusing again back on value, and that value, which just has to be grounded in what are the actual needs of the audience that you serve or aim to serve. We always love to ask guests who come on the podcast about their own lifelong learning habits. And so I'd be curious to know what are some of your sources or habits or practices that you use to inform how you continue to learn and grow.
Yeah, sure. To be honest, I try to engage in a lot of different kind of learning. I haven't done a structured training program in a little while, but I actively follow people on LinkedIn in the marketing space, especially kind of on the rev up side of things, to look at where things are going and what I can learn from them. And there's so many people that share free learning resources, actually, to share ideas. And so I try to make the most of those. The other aspect, I would say, of learning is, for me, not just learning about marketing, but also learning about the community that I work in and how better to understand it. So, for example, I try to follow a lot of the people in the association or learning business kind of areas to see what's important to them and what I can learn about them. Some fantastic books as well that I've recently ordered. Michael Tatonetti, Pricing for Associations, has just come out with a new book about pricing and value for associations. Amanda Kaiser's Elevating Engagement, really trying to understand where that comes from. And so I would have to say, like, a big part of my learning about the community that I'm working in and a part of comes from looking for the people who amplify the voices of other people in that community. So things like the Leading Learning podcast is probably one of the first tools that I looked to when I joined the association community years ago. And also people like Deirdre Reed, you know, or Association Forum, Associations Now from ASAE, people who gather the voices and stories from the community and share them. I try and learn a lot from those.
Michelle Bryan is Vice President of Marketing at Matchbox. In the show notes at leadinglearning.com/episode408, you'll find links to the Matchbox website and Michelle's profile on LinkedIn.
At leadinglearning.com/episode408, you'll also find options for subscribing to the podcast. Jeff and I would be grateful if you would subscribe if you haven't yet, as those subscriptions give us some insight into the impact of the podcast.
We'd also be grateful if you would rate us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen, especially if you find the Leading Learning podcast valuable. Those ratings and reviews help us show up when people search for content on leading a learning business.
And please help us grow the Leading Learning community. At leadinglearning.com/episode408, there are links to find us on X, LinkedIn, and Facebook.
Thanks again, and see you next time on the Leading Learning podcast.